Hey, I don't want to live a life of mediocrity and complacency, all right? I don't want that. And I know that the only way to actually combat against this is through prayer. Prayer is the open door to seeing things from a perspective that's much higher, an understanding that's far greater. And this is where none of us in this room should just be okay with the mediocrity of life. And I know for a fact that if you're feeling this way, then this is a sure sign that you haven't been down on your hands and your knees and laying it before the Lord, okay? I'm 100% on this factor, okay? Praying is the antidote to the fiery arrows that come shooting at you. And when you find yourself kind of like just feeling that dread of the day, of the next day, then this is like those warning signals that just start firing off to go, hey, begin to pray. Begin to get down on your hands and knees and worship the Lord. Begin to come into His throne room because He has asked you and has invited you in. So this is on you now, okay? This is all on you. I don't want to live that life because this is a fact, okay? I don't know if you guys know this, but my life is not rehearsed. Like day in and day out, when I wake up in the morning time, I haven't rehearsed today. I have no idea what's about to happen today. So if my life is not rehearsed, then I need to be in prayer so that I have listened to what the Holy Spirit wants to share with me from our Heavenly Father. I need to be in this moment with God and in His Word continually because I don't know what today brings. And that's why you know, you hear the disciples, you hear the prophets, you hear all of them say, you cannot worry about tomorrow, for today has its own troubles, okay? So today is today, this moment. I know I said it last week, and I want to say it again. My son said this so cheesily, but he said, he goes, you know why they call it the present? Because it's a gift. And I was like, all right, that was the dumbest thing I've ever heard. But it's so true. The present you live in is a gift. Therefore, take advantage of this gift that you've been given and that you actually take full advantage of it. Like, this is the best. It's like the best. I don't know how else to say it. But my life is not rehearsed, so I need to be in prayer. I need to know what the Word of God says because otherwise, I'm in a world of trouble. I'm in a lot of... If everything falls on my shoulders, then we're in some real trouble, all right? I mean, some like real trouble. Prayer allows us to shape our history. Prayer actually unfolds before us, and this is what I love about prayer. It transcends all time. It transcends it. And the one thing I can tell you right now is certain is that through prayer opens up this timeline veil that you don't have access to only and by prayer that you have access to this veil of timelessness where, and I love this, it has no expiration date. Prayer has no expiration date. That when you begin to pray and you begin to hear the Word of God and you begin to speak the Word of God, it transcends the time where it's like, all right, now God, you've placed this in God's hands and God begins to take care of it. And it's beautiful. It's like one of the most beautiful things. But I don't have a rehearsed life, so I have to have prayer, okay? So that leads me to a quote by Abraham Lincoln. Now, you know, most of us pray, God, I need you. And God, I have to have you. It was the kind of prayers that we pray, God, I have to have you or I'm going to fail. That's the kind of prayers that we typically pray. But Abraham Lincoln actually prayed a different prayer. And I think this is just beautiful. He says, God, without you, I must fail. So see the difference? When we say things, it's like, oh, God, I need you or I will fail, right? I say, I will fail. Actually, Abraham Lincoln flips it and says, God, without you, I must fail. Like, I want to fail, that it's not by my own being, it's not by my own gifts and abilities, but Lord, I don't want to possibly think that I can do anything without you. That idea that I can just get by, and that's what a lot of people do. They think enough education or enough gifting and ability that you can just skirt by and move through life. But actually, that's a really weird way of thinking. And I think that most times we do this just because it's easy. You know, it's kind of easier to set time apart and say, I want to spend time with my Heavenly Father. Well, that takes some effort. And that takes some discipline, and it takes time out of your day. I'm very familiar with how much time's in a day. And for some of us in this room, we like to fill it up pretty quickly. And most of the time, if you really would take an account of your day, you would find that you have a lot of time. If you would actually be a good steward of your day, you would realize, oh, I've got a lot of extra time. Well, fill that time with the throne room. And this is where God wants you to come in. God wants you to be in His throne room. And it's just one of the best things you can do. Because here's what you probably don't recognize is there's a word called supernatural. And I love that word. You know, this word, you can study this word out and you can study it out. And it's such a great word, supernatural. But if you break it down, what you're essentially saying and believing is that God is going to do the super, and I'm going to do the natural. He's going to do the super, and I'm going to do the natural. That is why it's important that the natural step is to fall on your hands and knees. He's got the super just kind of laying out there. I've got super, but I need you to want that super. You're going to have to recognize that it's this super. This all falls a line in His word in James chapter 1, right? If you need something, what do you got to do? You got to ask, right? Matthew 7, right? What do you got to do? You got to knock, right? So if you're knocking, guess what? Door's going to be coming open, right? It's going to be open to you. So that's why it's important that you have to acknowledge that God has the super, but then there's going to take a natural. And the natural is you being a good steward of your time and your time spent with Him, all right? That supernatural is what's going to change everything about who you are and what you put your hands to. Yeah. Now, I'm about to teach you this morning because I want to talk about, we're talking about prayer, okay? And I want to teach you about the importance of one particular area within prayer, okay? And then we've got some guest ministers coming up in the next 2 weeks. Next week we got Vidar coming. Some of you, he's our missionary over to Africa, and Vidar is everyone always says it's like your guest's favorite guy that we have come in. So if you're new with us and you've never sat down with Vidar, get ready. Next Sunday, Vidar is in town. Okay. And one thing I love about Vidar is that his dad's name is Thor, and he does own a hammer. And I love when Vidar says that. It's one of my favorite things when he says. So all right, here we go. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. For the word of God is alive and powerful. Yes. So let's stop right there, period, okay? Yes. That's factual. Praise God. Okay, it's factual. The word of God said it, therefore it's so. Okay, so if the word of God says that the word of God is alive and powerful, then I'm going to believe it. Yes. I want to believe this. So therefore, you believe it. Do you understand what I mean by I believe it? Yeah. Like you believe it. Sometimes we have a hard time of believing. I think because of our social media feeds and everything that's happening, you're like, nah, maybe. It's AI. You know, like we always want to lean, that's fake. Everyone wants to, now it's like everything's questionable, right? Everything is questionable. But the Word of God says it. The Word of God is alive and powerful. It is sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit, between joint and marrow. It exposes our innermost thoughts and desires. Yeah. So the Word of God is powerful. It's a two-edged sword, and it cuts between things. It cuts, and it divides, and you go, okay, this is good. So the divide and the cutting is actually revelation knowledge. All right? It's the knowledge that you wouldn't have had unless it did what it does. Got it? All right. Now, the phrase two-edged sword appears all over the New Testament. It's it's a continual theme. The Apostle John actually writes about it in Revelation 1:16. It says, he held seven stars in his right hand, and a sharp two-edged sword came from his mouth. So that's weird, right? Because he thought I was going to say other hands, because he said he held seven stars in his right hand, and a sharp two-edged sword came from his mouth. Well, that's odd. And his face was like the sun in all its brilliance. Now, we know that the book of Revelation has a ton of information, right? And it's got a ton of imagery, all right? So out of his mouth comes a two-edged sword. Now, why would Jesus have this coming out of his mouth, right? I mean, it's just an odd, it's an odd thing. So that's why you have to pay attention to it. You're writing it down. So if you have a note, if you have a notebook, this is how you study the Word of God, okay? You can't just read the Word and then just shut it up and then put it off to the side. No. You open up the Word of God, you have a notebook, and you begin to write these things down. Okay, that's weird. I like to draw, too. I like to doodle. So sometimes I'll draw, and I'm not a great artist. I have no ability to draw, by the way. So don't get discouraged if all you can do is stick figures, all right? But I would encourage you to do this so that you can begin to draw the imagery, and then you go, okay, God, what are you revealing right here? This is different. Typically, swords belong in hands. So as you draw these things out and you pay attention to it, you put little asterisks beside them, you highlight them, you circle them, and then the Word of God becomes this revelation knowledge where God begins to download some new things to it where you go, oh my gosh, okay. So that's the same process that I'm about to go through with you. So as I read Revelation 1:16, I'm thinking, okay, he's got the stars. Well, I don't have time this morning, by the way, to tell you what the stars are, right? We don't have time for all that. But what we do have time for is that sword out of his mouth. Let's talk about that, okay? Now, that phrase, two-edged, is taken from the Greek word distemos, okay? Distemos. Now, I could be butchering that word. Come on. I'm a hillbilly from West Virginia. Okay, we know that, all right? But distemos, okay, here we go. It's a compound word of the word di, which means two, and the word stomos, S-T-O-M-O-S, which is the Greek word for mouth. So essentially, what we're seeing right here is that these words compounded into one is describing that it's something that is two-mouthed. It's two-mouthed. All right. So the Bible is referring to the Word of God repeatedly as a two-edged sword, or literally a two-mouthed sword. So let's say two-mouthed sword. So as we read in Hebrews, the Word of God is like a sword that has two edges cutting between things. Now, according to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, the armor of God, we put on the armor of God because we're fighting not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. And we know that in Ephesians 6:17, that the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, okay? So we have this holy armor that we have on, and the sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. We've been given this ability. All right, let's call it ability, because if we place on the armor of God, then we've been given this ability, the sword of God. So we have this. So the more and more I'm reading about this, the more and more I'm discovering that it's the Word of God, that I circle the Word, and I go, all right, God, let's talk about the Word. What's Word? And that's rhema. Okay, so the term Word comes from the Greek word rhema, which refers to something spoken clearly. So it's the rhema coming out of your mouth. So it's the rhema word. It's spoken clearly, it's vividly, it's unmistakable, it's undeniable language. So in the New Testament, rhema conveys the idea of a word that has been quickened or brought to life. It's been brought to life, it's conveyed, it's spoken. All right? Now, I know you follow with me with this. This is where it gets really good. An example of this rhema spoken word, an example of the having the sword of the Spirit in your hands, all right? Knowing what you're supposed to do with it. The example of this is you found yourself in prayer. You have found yourself in a moment of I've got to go before the Lord. And as you've gone before the Lord, you begin to pray. And out of nowhere, a word is given to you. It's a deposit from the Holy Spirit. The word of God is given to you. Now, you could be reading the word of God, and it aligns with the word of God, meaning that all of a sudden a scripture comes depositing inside of you, and you remember, it's like all of a sudden you go, oh my gosh, yes, there's that word, or that story from Gideon, or that story from Moses, or that story from Joshua, or Caleb, or David, or Solomon, all these different stories, and you go, oh, that's right. And that's that rhema word that becomes inside of you where you go, oh man, this is good. This is what I needed to be meditating on for my particular situation. Amen. And as you begin to meditate on that rhema word, it begins to feed your soul. It begins to build your spirit man up. It begins to help you where you go, this is it. Then it bursts out of you that you begin to speak now the word of God. And that's why you hear this church say all the time, Proverbs 18:21 life and death are in the power of the tongue. So we want to speak life. So as you begin to speak the rhema word that's inside of you, you begin to fight the enemy. Let me explain why. As you speak out these powerful words, they'll go forth like a mighty blade, driving back the forces of hell. And these forces that you're fighting against, they're fighting against you and your family, all right? In your finances, at your workplace, your neighbors, your coworkers, everything. That's what your enemy wants to destroy. And as you begin to speak out these words, then what's beautiful is that this is where the two-edged sword comes from, okay? Get ready. First, the word came from the mouth of God, okay? That's where it first came from. Then it came from your mouth. Okay, I know. Some of you guys didn't follow me. I know. I could feel it. I felt it in the room. So let me say it again. The word of God first came from him, then it came from you. Okay, let me say it one more time. This is where you have to have a notepad down. This is where you begin to draw, okay? I said, the word of God came from him first, and then it came from us. Okay, let me say it one more time. Okay, because I knew it. The word came from him first, then it comes out of our mouth, making it a two-edged sword. Oh, because that's the difference. It's one-bladed. But he's giving us the super and the natural. We've got to speak it out, and now it becomes a two-edged sword. You are forging the two-edged sword as it's coming out of your mouth. You are literally forging the second blade as you begin to speak it out, cutting through all of the spiritual warfare that you've been dealing with, all the different things that continue to come at you. You are speaking the rhema word, because that when that word comes to you and it's sitting in a deposit of your reservoir here, what happens is that all of a sudden you go, okay, I'm praying, I am sitting here, God, I need an answer, and all of a sudden deposit, boom, boom. And you go, oh, that's it. This is it. God, thank you, Lord. This is what I've been believing for. This is what I've been needing right here. You know it. And you're hearing all the naysayers. You're hearing everybody tell you, that's just the way life is. You better just deal with it. Right? Everyone always, oh, I know. Ebb and flow. Hills and valleys. Right? Everybody wants to tell you, oh, you know how it is. Just the way life is. Life punches you one way, punches the other. I hear it all. You know, we always hear it, but that's not what God's word says. God's word doesn't tell us to just constantly be in an ebb and flow. Yes, there are valleys. That's a fact. We know Psalm 23. All of us should know that. We know there's valleys, and we know there's high places and all those different things. We understand that. But the Word of God in Psalm 23, if we want to park ourselves there for a second, God never leaves us in those moments.
Right?
And let me tell you something real quick for all of the theologians in this room, right? God also didn't say in Psalm 23 that he took me to that valley or that he took me to that peak, all right? He just said he was there with us in these peaks, in these valleys, okay? So keep that in mind, by the way, all right? Yeah, you might be in a valley right now because something's going on, but God didn't say that he was going to forsake us or leave us, right? He's come in, he's our comforter. He's to guide us, and he's taking us through those moments. He said it. Jesus said, take heart, right? You're going to have some troubles. There's going to be some hardships. There's going to be moments. Why? Because you're doing things in his namesake. So if you're doing things in his namesake, then guess what? The enemy's going to fight you. So until you open your mouth and speak that rhema word deposit, you ain't doing nothing. God is saying, hey, I've got a two-edged sword for you, but it comes from the forging as you pull it out. You're forging that second blade. And when you forge that second blade, now it can cut. You can wield it in a way that it actually does something, and it cuts through all of the spiritual warfare, all these things that are happening, but you've got to speak that word. Now, what's really important is, and this is where some of us fall short, is that you have to come into agreement with God with what his word says. When you come into agreement, then it releases his mighty power into that situation. That's why when that word's deposited inside of you, that you go, okay, is this it? You're marinating in it. You're like, okay, this is it. This is the word. And this is the answer. And this is this from God? That's what mature Christians do. They sit there and they go, God, is this from you? Or is it my own human emotions? Okay, so God, I want to know this is you. So you begin to just pray, God, is this the word that you want me to hold on to? Now, some of you guys go, what do you mean by that particular word? Okay, this is why Paul, and let's just call it the Bible, okay? This is why everyone in the Bible talks about the need to know the word of God. That knowing the Word of God, studying it every single day is so important. And the purpose behind this is that, yeah, you might be on a peak right now. You don't have time to put your feet back and sit in your lazy boy, okay? Because there will be a time where you might find yourself in the valley. And when you find yourself in the valley is when you are down on your hands and knees, just like you were on the peak, all right? But you're down your hands and knees, and that's when the Word of God deposits itself inside of you and reminds you. You have an overflow of the Word of God inside of you that when you are on your hands and knees, that Word comes to you and you go, this is it. This is the Word I've been needing. It's there. If you have no deposit, or sorry, if you don't have a savings account, let's just keep it in the banking terms right now. If you have no savings account where you've been saving the Word of God, that you've been just collecting the Word of God, then there's no place to deposit anything where you can't draw from it. And that's where you got to draw from it. That you draw from those words, you go, this is it. This is why I've been studying this. This is why I knew I needed to study this right here. Because I know how to fight the enemy on this. That God has given me the super. Now it's time for me to pull out the natural. I'm going to forge out this second blade as I begin to speak it out. Some of you go, what kind of words? Well, guys, that's between you and him. God will give you these words. If I tell you a particular instance, and I will, but if I was to tell you a particular instance, most of you in this room, you're now going to only look for God in that way. You know, so I can't give you your answer today. That's between you and God, all right? But I know for a fact, with my wife, she had dealt with some sicknesses as a young teenager into her college years. And so they had to do a surgery right? And so the surgery, they had to go through her belly button. And so she was having problems after the surgery through her belly button. So she's going through all of this turmoil in her head. This is not fun. And she's just frustrated. And so she begins to pray, and God deposits a scripture on a belly button. What is that scripture?
He brings health to thy navel and marrow to my bones.
You guys, someone years ago, they said, there's not a scripture on everything. I said, no, there really is. There's a scripture on everything. And they said, what about mowing your grass? There's a scripture about mowing your grass. Now, I'm not going to tell it to you. You're going to figure it out. Isn't that weird? I mean, it's wild to think all the things that God put down in his word. There are so many good things in his word to discover over your situation or circumstance. On top of that, God will, he will layer things within that revelation knowledge that you've never seen before. When you begin to go to him and you open up your mouth and you begin to speak that rhema word, the spoken word of God, as you begin to speak that, you're going to start seeing change. You're going to start seeing the breakthrough that you need. This is why God's instructed us that quickened rhema word is from God. And it begins to just fill us up. And it begins to give you exactly what you need. You go, this is it. This is why the word of God is bread. The word of God feeds me. It nourishes me. It takes care of me. I've got a supernatural comfort that I shouldn't have. That I've got this peace that transcends all understanding. The word of God becomes alive where you go, I can't believe this. So in the scriptures, when you read a two-edged sword, essentially you're saying, I have a two-mouthed sword. I have a two-mouthed sword. It takes two. God, I don't know what happened there. God wants you to use what he's given you. He's telling you, hey, I want you to do something. Some people have a real hard time with this. Somehow they get it mixed with salvation. Because let me tell you, salvation is a free gift. Okay, salvation is free. You don't have to do spiritual jumping jacks. Okay, you don't have to go over here and beat yourself with the Bible. You don't have to do any of those things. That's not, so salvation is a free gift. All right. Now let's put that to the side. Well, that's baby milk, all right? That's just small little things. Let's just put that to the side now. Now let's get into the meat of things. You have got to be a doer of his word, okay? And this takes maturity, all right? This takes action on your part. That's why it's sad that people create theology and they create their belief systems on these core nonsense belief systems of, well, I don't have to do nothing. I can do what I want and I'm going to heaven. Okay, well, that's great, but that's not why God created you. God created you, right, to do things. That's why he's saying, I want to make you an instrument for noble purpose. I don't know about you guys, but I don't want to be used for common use every day. I don't want to be common use plates. Do you guys have common use plates in your house? I mean, I don't know about you guys, but I got four kids. I got common use plates. We break things all the time. They're chipped. They look crazy. Crazy. My bowls, spoons that got stuck in the garbage disposal. You know what I'm talking about? You're like, you don't know how bad they are until you put them in your mouth and out of your mouth, and then you're bleeding. And you're like, oh, well, gotta throw that away, right? I'm not a disposable instrument, right? So I refuse to be used in that way. I want to be used for noble purpose. I want to experience the double-edged mouth sword in the right moments. I want to be used in a way that the kingdom of God is being built. I want to be used in a foundation for the word of God in everyone's life where it's like, all right, let's do this thing. Let's move. Let's go. Let's, like, I don't want to be stagnant. I don't want to be sitting on my hands. I'm not going to settle for mediocrity. I want to move. I want to dream. I want to see the visions that God has. What's God doing? When you are in the presence of God, He reveals these things to you. And you're going to find yourself in places where you're going to have to lean on the Word of God. You're going to find yourself in places where you've got to speak the Word of God. That you can't walk around with nothing in your hands. You know, you have to have the sword of the Spirit, that Rhema spoken word. When you have the Rhema spoken word, then you're able to actually do what you need to do. And that's why it's so sad. People get all fixated on this idea of, I'm saved. Now I get to go do what I want to do. I go live how I want to live. And that's not what God intended you for. Right. Yeah. It's not about your selfish ambitions. It's not about your retirement plan. It's not about the day that you can just put your feet up. It's not what it's about. Band, you can come on out. What hinders us from opening up our mouths and having a two-edged sword is our agenda. Our agenda keeps the word spoken by God just hovering. And then in our own agenda, we're asking God all these things. This goes back to James chapter 4. We ask all these things, and we're doing it all wrong. It's out of selfish ambition and selfish pride, and it's super sad. Because then we form our religion around God's not there for us. And it's really sad that most of the time, people only want to serve the Lord in tragedy because they want God to get them out of it. But then what happens is once that you get out of it, or time has passed, and you know, whatever's taken place has taken place, and you just kind of become numb to it, and I'm not going to say that you've been healed from it, because I don't know if you've been healed from it. Some of you harbor those pains and emotions, and you just mask it with other things. So I could say time heals all, but that's not really true. God heals all. Okay, so I'm not for sure if just because it's been 6 months to a year that you're actually healed from something, that's not necessarily true, okay? So why do I say all that? Because when things have passed and the tragedy has moved on, you've moved on from finding the need to be before the Father. And then now you're like, all right, things are kind of at a low pressure. It's kind of like, it's kind of down here. I don't have to think about it. And that is not the way to live. Okay? God has not instructed us to live in this ebb and flow, peaks and valleys. I've only come to Him when it's tragedy. God is actually, He has instructed us to come to Him all the time. In the throne room. We're going to do some things today. I want to read the scripture first. Joshua 1:8 says, "Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful." How many of you guys believe that? Brian, feel the Lord want me to tell you something. You are prosperous. You may not look at it right now. Not that you're some poor joke. But you are an example of this. And what may look like right now looks tough. That's not your future. You are prosperous. Everything you put your hands to.
You are successful in everything you put your hands to. Some of you need to believe this. But it's going to take what first? And Brian's an example of this. Meditating on it day and night. Something happened to Brian this past week, and I heard about it, and I was so upset. I was upset in the humanly form for him. I'm going to tell everybody, is that okay? Okay. He and his wife and his two children, they live in an apartment complex, and all the time the apartment complex gets broken into. All their cars, not the homes, but the cars. And so he is a welder by trade. And so in the back of his truck is this huge giant generator of a welding machine. It's like this combo of machine. And it got stolen out of his truck, right? These things aren't cheap and they're not light. And I was so devastated for him that I was like, oh my gosh, this is just awful. So I called him and I was like, Brian. Now I'm sympathizing to him from a humanly position, right? I'm sympathizing going, dude, I am so sorry and I hate this for you and I'm so upset and I'm upset. You know what Brian kept telling me on the phone? It's okay. I could hear the smile and the joy in his voice. Oh, it's okay. It's all right. It's okay. It all worked out. I called this other guy and I went down here and he had this and he was like, oh, it's okay. I'm like, only by the joy of the Lord. Only by the one who meditates on it day and night that you could sound like that on the phone. I wish I could have recorded it. I wish I would have. But that would be private and really creepy. But I would play it right now. Because you guys would be so encouraged by someone who meditates on the Word of God day and night. And the attitude of knowing, oh, it's okay. We're all right. God's taking care of it. We're going to take care of it. It's all happening. It's all good. It's all good. I mean, the whole time, he was reassuring me. I was more upset on the phone than he was. That's that moment. You guys got to realize that you are prosperous and successful. That's the natural. The super is when you meditate on God's law, on His word, day and night, right here, this whole thing right here. When you meditate on this, some of you are like, what's God's law? The love of God. The love of God is all through this. The love of God is God's law. The love, the love, the love. When you meditate on that, all right, the next 8 minutes, this is what we're going to do. Okay? If you were to read the Word of God and you see all these moments where prophets and apostles, they're meditating on the Word of God, they're meditating in the presence of God. God does what? He gives them visions. Okay. Some of you, this isn't weird. This is in the Bible. Okay? But it's just, it might be uncommon to you because you don't practice it often enough. But for the next 7 minutes, we're going to pray. And in your time of prayer right now, I want you to close your eyes. And I want you to imagine yourself, walking into the throne room of God. And now, I want you to imagine this. This is the same way John getting a vision from the Lord. This is the same way. John's been given a vision of the Lord. I want you to go into that throne room. And I want you to look up at your Father. I want you to say, Lord, here I am. What do you want to share with me? And then I want you to begin to write down what God's sharing with you in this moment, in this vision moment that you have right now. I want you to go. I want you to close your eyes. Maybe let's help them out a little bit. Let's turn off the lights. Turn off the lights, Stephen. Can you turn off the lights for me? Turn off the lights. I want you to now just close your eyes. I want you to imagine yourself literally walking into the throne room. I'd like for you to write down what you're seeing and what you're experiencing. What does it look like? I want you to begin to write those things down. I want you to say, Lord, here I am.
You've been invited into this throne room. I want to remind you this. You have been invited. Some of you don't feel like you've been invited, but you've been invited into this throne room. Some of you may not feel like you're worthy enough to be in this throne room, but the blood of Jesus has washed your sins away, has covered you. You have the ability to walk into his throne room right now. I want you to walk into his throne room. I want you to say to him, Father, here I am. Lord, what do you want to share with me?